Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join Pastor Bob Gretzka as he encourages and reminds us of the unchanging truths found in God's Word and makes this time available to answer any questions and pray with you during this live broadcast. If you have a question or a prayer request, call in at 978-353-0849. Again, that's 978-353-0849. Now let's join Pastor Bob Gretzka.
Hello. Hello, this is Bob Gretzka, and I'm coming to you from the studios here in Fitchburg from Horizon. And again, we've been doing this each night for a few weeks now. It's been a little bit longer, maybe, than we expected up front. We're certainly thinking this would be a fairly very temporary thing that would be meeting with everybody on the air from 6 to 7 during the week. And yet it's gone on a little bit longer with a lot of things happening and continuing, as we've been mentioning, changing like crazy all around us. Just not sure what the next day will bring. And with this pandemic that's gone around the world and affected really everybody in some way or another, some more seriously than others, but yet every one of us in some way has been affected by this, whether it be a friend or family member going through this virus, or, you know, our work being, our finances, or something else being affected, kids being home from school, us working from home, certainly trying to buy food at the grocery stores, no more going out to eat, no more sports events. So tons of changes in our world, certainly very suddenly and for an unknown amount of time. I know things are just beginning to consider opening up again in different parts of the country. I know they've talked about it down in Georgia and in Tennessee. I guess they're starting to open things up quite a bit. And yet here in Massachusetts, things are still ramping up. We've got quite a few cases where I believe probably the third highest right now. New York is way ahead of everybody with the number of cases, and then New Jersey, and I believe Massachusetts is next on the list. Some of that may be just the amount of testing and stuff that's going on here, so not quite sure, but it is definitely affecting a lot of people's lives. And so tonight, we just want to encourage you again with God's Word and what He's doing in our lives. And, you know, I've got another pastor on the line with me here from Massachusetts as well. And we just want to encourage you and speak God's truth and hopefully edify the body and reach out to those maybe who are maybe even unsure of where they stand with the Lord currently right now. So, again, I've got a pastor online from Western Massachusetts, actually Calvary Chapel in the Berkshires, Jason Corbett, with me. So, Jason, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you?
Doing great. Good to be here tonight for sure. I'm glad to have you.
Glad to be along. Glad to be a part of what's going on.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're here for sure. I know both being from Massachusetts and, you know, within Calvary Chapels and all. But again, there's a little difference, obviously, in where we reside and what's happening. So I just wanted to try to get a little bit of your view of things. Again, being out on the western part of the state in the Berkshires, you know, still as a pastor, a father, a husband, probably, well, obviously a son, maybe a brother, a man working and a home to provide for, house of kids and all this going on with the COVID-19 virus as well. How has this affected you guys out there personally as a family, and what's happened for you guys?
Well, as a family, first of all, we have tried to follow the social distancing guidelines and stay put in the house for most of the time, although, you know, you got to go out and do some things and take care of life's issues with grocery shopping and things like this. But again, following the social distancing guidelines as we're doing that, and church-related things, because we're in a ministry family, there's always things that need to be done and need to be tended to. And, of course, you got to be careful with how you're doing those things right now, because on the one hand, you're like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and God's going to take care of things and protect me and look out for me, which He's going to, of course, but it'd be foolishness to just do something and put yourself in a position where it might put yourself or somebody else in harm's way, and that doesn't have to be the case. So with that said, you know, as we go out and minister to the people, we're trying to take all these things into account and make sure that everybody's safe in what we're doing. For example, there are a few elderly people in the church that we've been trying to look after, but a lot of the looking after that we're doing with them has been over the phone because they have restrictions on people coming in and out of the places that they live in, because some of them live in elderly type communities, and we just want to be safe and look out for them and that kind of a thing. So my family's doing well, though. We are, as we said, we're kind of spend a lot of time at home together, and that's a good thing. My daughter was at Calvary Chapel Bible College this semester, and they got sent home early, as you guys might already know, and that was a bit of a challenge for her because this was her second semester, and she was getting settled in, and everything was going pretty good there. She was making new friends and kind of establishing herself with her identity and things. And then she kind of got they just basically told us time to go home for obvious reasons. We're glad that she came home when she did, because she probably would have been stuck there for a longer season had she not come home when she did. But she struggled with that a little bit, but she's doing okay. My sons are doing okay. They're plugging along. We're homeschoolers, so when they decided to cancel school, which has been hard and challenging for a lot of people, and we completely understand that, it really didn't affect us too much because we just kind of went on about our business and did what we did.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. I mean, the homeschooling idea, you know, sometimes it's controversial in some states, and other states it's perfectly fine and pretty common. And yet, you know, today it seems just about every state in the union has homeschooling going on, you know, even encouraged and enforced by our federal government. So kind of an interesting day that we're in for sure as things continue to change and, you know, living lives a little bit differently in some ways, hopefully maybe a little simpler, although, like you mentioned, in ministry, obviously, and for those who are in positions where they need to be working still and all, probably not a lot has calmed down, but for some, it definitely has. And I guess one of the things there is really considering how is the time being used now that some of the people have a little more time, certainly a little more time together with their immediate family, you know, especially families with kids and how they're dealing with that. Probably hasn't changed, like you mentioned, a whole lot for your family where you do the homeschooling. But I guess a quick question there is, have you noticed that much, or have you been in contact with much of your congregation or people in the area on how they're dealing with it and what changes they've had to make?
Well, as far as the homeschooling thing is concerned, we had just a limited number of people in our church with small children. And I think they're faring okay. You know, we've tried to be diligent about staying in touch with everybody and talking to them. We try to put a directory together so that we can communicate with people, which we were kind of sad that we didn't have before we went into this. But, you know, you learn as you go along. So anyway, you know, we've talked to people as much as we can about the things that they're having to deal with. My wife came up with an interesting idea that she's implemented, and I think it's almost every day she'll just put up homeschooling ideas and make it a part of her feed on Facebook. So it goes out to all of her friends. And so anybody that's her friend, which would include everybody that's in our church, gets to see her homeschooling ideas that she's been just doing practically for years and years now, and they can kind of glean from that. And I think it's been helpful to some of the people that she has as friends on Facebook, and again, some of those people are people that are a part of our church. As far as other things are concerned in the church and people that don't have small kids, I think we actually have a couple of teachers that teach not in the public school system, but at the collegiate level. And I haven't really talked to them about how this has affected them. But I can imagine that they're spending some time at home and doing a lot of online type classes and that kind of a thing. So.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of I've got a teacher that lives on my street, and they're talking about it as well, just doing a lot of online teaching. And with the younger kids, it's quite a challenge for sure, trying to figure out how that all goes and keeping their attention and all. And yet for the older ones, it's actually not a bad situation for a lot of them, where they actually find they can get things done maybe a little bit quicker, even without having to transfer between classes and all these other things. They can kind of get real focused on what they're doing. And so it's kind of interesting. And the new tools, of course, the social media stuff and all the different tools that are available now to be able to actually connect for the kids at schools and teachers. And we're finding a lot of us using it as well, even for our services now. I know on Sunday mornings we're doing Facebook Live, and then for the rest of the smaller group stuff, we're using Zoom and other ways of connecting with people. And so I'm assuming maybe you guys are doing pretty much the same. I did see your service on Facebook, so I'm assuming that's what you're doing for your main service. Are you doing other things to reach out to the congregation in other ways and encourage and edify them?
Well, I think that the general basics that pretty much everybody has been doing, we're kind of putting into practice too. So number one, yes, we are using the Facebook Live, and we've had some technical barriers that we've had to get over with that. You would think that it's simple enough to do that, but we're working on that and trying to get things to where, you know, they're running smoothly and that kind of a thing. But we are using the Zoom thing for smaller gatherings. For example, we do a Tuesday night prayer gathering, which used to be public at somebody's house, and that was wonderful, good time, and it was sad to not be able to do that, but we were like, well, let's try this via Zoom and see how a prayer meeting goes, and it actually goes pretty good. It's pretty much the same that it was, minus the personal interaction. We're interacting through pictures now on a Facebook feed or a Zoom feed there. But we're enjoying that time. We had some concerns with the security issues and that kind of a thing, but that doesn't seem to have been a problem for us to this point. So, yes, we're using the Facebook Live for the Sunday morning services, and yes, we're doing the same thing as you guys with the Zoom meetings, and both of those things are going relatively well. One thing I did notice is, and you don't want to put too much stock in this, but we've been able to reach literally hundreds of people with the message on Sunday morning that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to reach. And I know, and we're just a smaller church. I've heard the testimonies of some of the bigger churches that have a greater sphere of influence, and they're reaching thousands of people that they haven't been able to reach prior to this. So it's weird, you know. I saw a meme not too long ago on Facebook. I keep saying Facebook. I don't spend too much time on there, by the way. But, I saw a meme the other day that said, and the caption was 2000, and the reaction that pastors had to Facebook, and it had this little angry dog showing its teeth. And now in 2020, it's a whole different ball game. It's like everybody loves Facebook because we're able to get the word out to that, and it's become this extremely important thing, really, to provide services. And so.
Yeah, it's amazing how things have changed, right? This social media that at one time we're thinking, oh, just the kids doing crazy things on it and complaining about their parents. And now, you know, we're able to actually share the word of God and reach people's hearts and, you know, have people surrender their lives and give it over to God and make an incredible difference in life-changing events here really going on. And maybe some of that has to do with the days we're in as well. People are starting to question and wonder about their mortality, wonder about what is this life all about and what's the purpose and where do I fit. And, you know, it does seem there's something good about that for sure. You know, there are times it seems the Lord does have a step back and recount a bit. You know, what is this all about? Why am I spending my life the way I am? You know, what does it all mean and what's going to happen at the end? And it's a good thing for us to occasionally, I think, step back and do that and really consider what's the main purpose here. You know, how was I designed and what am I designed for? What is my purpose in life? And although it seems a lot of young kids early on have that question, maybe, you know, when you're thinking about graduating from high school and going into college, that you start evaluating those things. But this is really a whole new reset for a lot of us. And really considering, you know, what does the future hold and where's my part in it? What's my role? What am I supposed to be doing with what I've been given? So it's a kind of an interesting thing to consider for sure. I don't know if you've seen much of that out there or have experienced it.
Well, as I said, we are getting, again, not putting too much stock in the views that you get on Facebook, because the fact of the matter is that you know, a view is basically 3 seconds. So, but the hope and the expectation is that the people that are tuning in from this perspective, and the Sunday morning service perspective anyway, is that they're hearing some of the message, and, you know, the Lord is ordaining times where they're getting questions answered. God is capable of doing that, and he's capable of reaching into the life of somebody and that has questions and needs answers and doing that. We don't always get the answers that we're looking for, but he's more than capable of doing that, and I just think it's a wonderful thing. So that's what happened to me a long time ago. You know, I walked into a church on a Sunday morning and heard a message, and somebody gave the gospel, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the message was delivered, and the guy was very personally and intimately touching on details of my life and things that I'm like, wow, I can't believe this person knows that, and he was answering questions that I had pertaining to who God was and his son and the person of Jesus Christ. So I think it's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
that God is doing that even now, and you know, his arm's not short that way. So.
Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, God is definitely certainly still on his throne and in control and doing things often in the background that we don't quite see right up front, and it takes a little bit of time for us to actually realize that he is actually working in our lives and doing something with purpose. And so, yeah, when you sit down in service and you hear a pastor kind of lay your life out before you, it's like, whoa, he's talking to me. He's talking about me. What's going on? And then he offers an incredible hope. Wow, that's just amazing how God will work like that. His incredible mercy, for sure, as the way he reaches out to us and meets us right where we're at. You know, a lot of times people will shut things off because they don't quite grasp or understand where they're going, or maybe they just don't agree with what the other person's saying, and so they just kind of walk away or shut down the conversation. But when we open our ears to listen a little bit, it can have a profound effect, for sure. We can certainly be in a place where God will work with us and open our eyes to things that we might have never thought so before. I just wanted to offer out for people that are listening. I've got Pastor Jason Corbett on the line with me here. He's a pastor out in the Berkshires, western part of Massachusetts, and myself here in Fitchburg. And if you had any questions or prayer requests, you can call in our main number, which is 888-310-PRAY, 888-310-7729. And somebody will answer the line. It won't be directly on the air, but they can answer and give us the message, and we can respond to it in that way over the air. So, Jason, I don't know if you realized we were doing that, but just wanted to offer that out anyways for people if they had any questions.
I do now.
Okay, awesome.
It's all good.
Perfect. So I guess during this time, I'm assuming the Lord's kind of talking to you, and then maybe you have something that you specifically might want to share a bit with the group.
Well, when this all first started out, this was a personal thing, a church-related thing, but I was kind of struggling with our pace through the book that we were in. We were going through the book of Acts on Sunday morning. We still are. And I'm like, man, Lord, this is taking a long, long time, longer than maybe it should. And I was kind of trying to push myself to go a little bit faster and making statements concerning my need to go a little bit faster to a couple of people. But when this all unfolded, the Lord had us right where I think we needed to be. You know, we were in the book of Acts in chapter 19, and the portion of scripture was the riot in Ephesus happened under Paul's ministry. And, you know, I was like, you're always looking for a way to make the scriptures applicable and relative, but sometimes you don't have to search too hard, because it's just God's word, and it does that. So to the point that I'm trying to make is that book of Acts, that portion of scripture, was so pertinent to where we are concerning the crowd mentality that can develop between people and the decisions that are made and the directions that people go based on misinformation and things like that. And again, the key to this is that this was early on in this whole situation. I still feel strongly that, you know, we need to be careful with the information that we're taking in regards to what is going on and how we process that. And that seemed really relative at the time and pertinent based on that portion of Scripture, because if you read some of it, the crowd was just, they were all carried away in one direction. They end up in this theater, and everybody's excited and anxious, and the Bible says that they don't even know why they were there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, is that where we're at with this kind of a thing? So my exhortation is, from on a personal level concerning that, is we just kind of want to, like, step back and process everything that's going on through the lens of God's Word. You know, what does the Lord's Word have to say concerning these things that are going on and the situation that it's in? And I feel that it has plenty to say, because it's relative, it's applicable. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. His Word is eternal, so there's plenty in there. You might not find something that has to do with how we're supposed to react in a pandemic or specifically related to the COVID virus, but you're going to have plenty that talks about how we should react in a general sense and these kinds of stressful situations where people don't know what to do and they don't know how to act, and they're making bad decisions because they don't know how to do or what to do and they don't know how to act. The Word of God has focus for us in those situations. And so
I'm trying to stay focused
on His Word and making sure that people understand it is good as the Lord is allowing us to explain it, I suppose.
Amen. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's funny because my wife and I at night are actually in that same place. The other night we just read Acts 19. So that's certainly God speaking for sure. You know, considering that the time when the people got in the uproar, like you mentioned, didn't even have a clue of why they were doing it for the most part. Many of them were totally oblivious to what was happening. They just were part of the crowd and yelling out and going crazy during a time when things were just up in an uproar like crazy. And they were just all part of it, not truly understanding why or how it all even came about. So that is a real interesting point for sure. And yeah, God's Word does address all just about every situation for sure. You know, He does speak to us often in different ways to respond. And our hearts can get really confused, you know. Our heart can be deceived pretty easily, certainly with things that get us upset or, you know, like you mentioned, not even knowing how to respond in some situations. And yet we tend to fall back to how we feel, and the way we feel is not always the right or best thing for sure. We have to be very careful with that. So, yeah, I definitely appreciate that. That's a great thing to consider, actually. You know, for myself, one of the things He's really spoken to me a lot about lately is just taking the time a bit to step back and truly allow Him to search my heart. If there are things I need to repent from and allow Him to change. And it just seems, you know, as a church, we're going through a 2-year reading through the Bible, and we're at a point where we're actually going through a lot of the prophets and gotten to the minor prophets now. And boy, it's just incredible when you look at again and again, they're warning the people about what's happening around them, and they're doubting, that are really not listening, not paying much attention. They're getting angry at the man bringing the message instead of truly listening to what the message is and just really considering what is it that God would have me do in this situation. And I think if we're not careful, we could get there ourselves pretty easily. You know, this is dragging on a little bit more probably than most of us expected, you know, kind of being separated from some family, friends, getting a regular routine of, you know, going out and doing things, and suddenly all that stopped. And now we're kind of confined to an area for quite an amount of time in some cases. So it's just an interesting thing on how we respond to that. And yet, again, in that quietness typically is when God really will speak to us. And for me, it's definitely been a lot of the idea of the repentance and really where are we at, you know, reevaluating again, coming to Him, trusting, or just searching maybe. What is it that needs to change? What is it that I'm maybe missing when my life gets too busy or just too caught up with other things happening? You know, I get busy about work or the things at my home, and it can be too focused on myself, for sure. And a time like this helps me realize, well, I obviously need to, like you mentioned, be cautious with things. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here in the studio in Fitchburg, and I've got a mask on, you know? So
Yeah.
And it's definitely to be cautious, you know? I don't know if I have anything going on in me, so I want to make sure that I'm protecting others, and I hope they're doing the same for me, you know? So, again, it's not just so much the focus on, you know, what is my life about, but maybe what does God want to do with me? What does he want to use me? And it can be a little more challenging, I think, today, because we are a little more confined. So how do we truly reach out? You know, we've got neighbors, family, friends, again, people that we can't see face-to-face necessarily, or, you know, shake the hand or give them a hug. But there's, here we go. Again, you know, the idea of the social media type thing. Hey, the old-fashioned telephone, you know, how many times have people actually picked up the phone lately and given somebody a call they hadn't called in years, maybe, you know? This is maybe a little prompting for that as the Lord leads us, you know? Maybe he puts a scripture on our hearts and somebody's face into our minds and, hey, call that person, give them a good word, help them to remember, you know, be a little bit reminded of who they are and what God wants to do with them. So, again, you know, there can be challenges with it, but we the great thing is it makes us get outside of our box a little bit and really look for ways of doing things. You know, again, doing our services in different ways. On Sunday mornings, on nice Sundays, we've been having the drive-in church here in Fitchburg where people will come into our parking lot. We have a little makeshift stage where you can fit one or two people up there, and that's about it. At the same time, we're doing it over Facebook and on the radio. And so it's just kind of a different way of doing things. It's a little challenging in some ways. Might not be as clean and nice as you want because you're outside and you get the wind and it might not be as clear or, you know, something like that. But it certainly is very doable and it is very edifying for sure as we can speak into people's hearts during a time like this. So,
yeah.
I guess just another quick question, I guess, would be, you know, with this all going on, you know, what's your thought on, you know, I've heard people talk a little bit about, you know, why would God do this? Or why is God allowing this? Or why is Satan doing this? You know, how did he get the authority to do this? You know, or what's wrong with men? And putting all those pieces together, I guess, I'm just curious about what your thoughts might be there as far as, you know, what is this all about? Where is this coming from?
Well, if we believe that God is sovereign, and which we do, then he didn't necessarily manufacture this or create it, but he definitely allowed it to happen. And so the question is, why would God allow that to happen? I think the answer is the simple answer is, anyway, we live in a fallen world, and sin has ravaged this world, and we're seeing the effects of it in many different ways, and the COVID virus is one of those things. But I know that, you know, God has a way of bringing good out of suffering and bad. God is the only person that I know that's capable of doing that. We're kind of, as Christians, we're kind of in a place where we want to be yielded to him and be a part of that process of good coming to bad, but we would never put ourselves in a place where we would take credit for that coming about. So when I say that God's the only person that can do that, that's what I mean. And I believe that he's going to bring some good things out of it, or a lot of good things out of it. For example, I would just, you know, go back to what you were kind of saying before and how you as an individual, or we as a church primarily, have been given time to consider what's going on in our lives and whether or not we're overly focused on self or there's something else that we need to be focused on. We're taking time to consider things maybe that we've forgotten to do because we've just been busy doing other things, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm not saying that God brought COVID specifically to, you know, change the way that you're thinking about things, but that's a dynamic of this. And so we're starting to do things that we haven't done in a long time, like picking up the phone and calling somebody and talking to them because we've been too busy to do that. Or we have more time to sit and just listen to what the Lord has to say. Or we have more time to spend with our families and ask questions that we maybe haven't been asking them that we should have been asking them concerning their spiritual welfare and their mental health.
Amen. Jason, can you hold that thought for just a moment? We're going to go to a break and be right back.
In St. Paul, Minnesota, Teresa Scarman was walking outside when someone came up behind her and snatched her purse. Then, from out of the blue, a hero appeared who gave chase and got her purse back. He had on a white tunic, beige leotard, tight boots, and a cape. But it wasn't some comic book hero. It was mild-mannered Cameron Evan, a pizza delivery guy for Galactic Pizza. The outfit is part of the image for Galactic Pizza delivery people. It's impressive how ordinary people can be heroic. You might not wear a cape or tights or tunic or a leotard, but we consider you pretty heroic. It's not just people who have their purses snatched that need saving. It might be a college student who's far away from home for the first time, a businesswoman who just lost her job, or a mom who's just struggling to deal with a two-year-old. Well, we are here to save the day by offering them the hope found in the Bible, but we couldn't do it without your heroics, in this case, your monthly financial gifts. So thanks for your super support, and go ahead, celebrate by buying yourself a super-looking cape. Superhero tunic, tights, boots, and leotards optional. Listener-supported. Renew FM.
Hey, Bob, you want to turn down the stereo? I'm going to go to my room and pray for a while.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, Lord. All I want to do is please you. Just let me know what it is you would have me do, Lord.
Hey, Frank, Ed's here and he needs some old clothes for the mission. You want to give him your old leather jacket?
No way. I can get $20 for that easy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Lord, your will is all I want. Just lead me and I will follow.
Ed's also helping with the food drive at church, wants to know if you can help.
Hey, stacking lima beans all weekend is not my idea of excitement.
Okay, I'll tell him you'll be busy.
Fine. Oh, Lord, I just want to do great things for you.
Hey, Frank, Dugan just called. He got kicked out of his dorm and needs a place to stay. Can he stay here for the night?
No way, man. Dugan's a hog. Tell him to call Ed.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, anything you want, just tell me.
Prayer. It's more than just talking to God. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Renew FM.
So just before we went to the break, we're in the midst of a conversation just about the hopes of what God will do during a time like this and the fact that he can use this to great good. And so, Jason, sorry to cut you off there for a moment, but if you want to just pick up there where you left off.
Okay, so, you know, we were just saying, you know, what God is doing in all of this, and I believe he's doing plenty good, you know. It's a time of for us to be kind of introspective. We don't want to be overly focused on self, but I think sometimes the Lord gives us a time where you can look inside, because if you don't look inside sometimes, then you're not dealing with the problems and the issues that you potentially need to deal with. So he's given us that time. He's given us time to spend with our families. And for the believer, I believe this is really important. For somebody who doesn't know the Lord, they're experiencing a lot of challenges with that probably for many different reasons. But for the Christian, you know, who knows the Lord, I mean, take this time and utilize it. Spend a little time with your family and get to know your kids maybe a little bit better than you do. And again, I think sometimes we just get so busy doing what we do, we forget to take that extra time that we need to ask the questions that need to be asked. And it's not always easy to come to that place where we realize that that's the case, that I haven't been doing it the way that I should, or I have been doing something in a way that the Lord didn't want me to. But it's a good process, you know, because we get through it and then we're in this place where we're doing things the way that the Lord has called and asked us to do them, and that's a good thing. So the good that the Lord is bringing about is obvious. I think it's going to become more clear as things take shape.
Yeah, amen. I think that's true. I totally agree. I know I can't help but think of, you know, 2 Corinthians 7 where it talks about the idea of, you know, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, you know, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And there is a difference. Like you mentioned the fact that, the unbeliever is going to be having a lot of challenges here, trying to figure out what this means and why am I going through this and just struggling with it so much, where, you know, us as believers should really take this time and use it well, for sure. Bring ourselves to a point of allowing God to convict us. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us and help us to just truly take that time to cleanse our hearts and lay things all open before him as he expects, you know, and that's when a great healing and new vision comes to us from him, for sure. Actually, while we're on the break, we got a message in from a caller somebody out on the Lower Cape, just kind of mentioning that actually in a few days, it looks like maybe homeless. She's just asking for prayer for protection and for a place that the Lord would provide for her. So could I hand that over to you, Jason? Would you mind praying for this lady's name is Rebecca? Could you pray for Rebecca?
Sure.
Awesome.
Lord, we just want to lift Rebecca and her situation up before you, Lord. We don't know exactly what the circumstances are. We don't need to know. You do.
Mm.
And we pray for your supernatural hand of protection in her life, that through this time of that she's going through, we pray, first of all, Lord, that she would find a place to live and stay, and that she wouldn't have to be in this place where she would be considered homeless, Lord. But if that doesn't happen and she has to go through a challenging time, I pray that she wouldn't lose sight of who you are and your love for her life, for her, Lord, as an individual. I pray that she'd be able to clearly see that even through any difficulties or hardship that she might experience. So, again, Lord, first of all, we pray that she would not be homeless. We pray that you'd give her a place to live. You'd supernaturally work in her life. You'd bring circumstances together that would just wow her in a way that she cannot believe.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, Lord, give her peace. She does have to go through a little mini difficulty or trial, because those things happen. We hope that that's not the case in this situation, but we know that they happen. And so just give her that peace that she needs, that strength, that fortitude to bear that and deal with it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we all need certainly to keep our eyes focused on him. And, you know, even having Christ in our lives, we know for sure, doesn't exempt us from difficulties and trials, for sure. And in fact, in some cases, maybe makes it a little more difficult, because we have to make decisions that we know affect more than ourselves. And sometimes that comes with a cost. And so, but his hand is definitely not short. He can do all things, and that's what we need to trust. We know that he does things for a purpose, not just out of the blue because he feels like it, but with a great purpose, and always for our good. And it doesn't necessarily, again, mean that it feels good, for sure. But, you know, 2 Peter tells us, you know, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, you know, for sure. He is definitely always on time and in control of things. And it's completely trusting him, knowing that his desire is that not one be lost. So, you know, a lot of times people will talk about that, you know, well, if God's real, why hasn't he come yet? Why has it taken so many years? You know, he was supposed to come back, you know, back when they wrote the Bible, they were talking about how soon he'd be back. He'd be back soon. And yet, you know, it's been 2,000 years. Where is he? But 1,000 years is, you know, like a day to him. And his timing is perfect. Certainly not the same as ours. Definitely. He works on a different time frame than we do. He is, in fact, outside of time. And so it's sometimes difficult for us to understand that because we are finite beings, and we can only think so far ahead or so far behind. And yet for God, all things, it's the same yesterday, today, forever. You know, it's not a difference for him. So being outside of time, one of the great benefits to me with that is I always consider, you know, when I've missed something or forgot to ask him about something, it's like, oh, well, I can do that right now. I don't need to, because for him, it doesn't much matter. You know, his timing is always perfect. So sometimes I think it's to remind me of that, to remember that, you know, he is still in control. He hasn't, just because the moment's passed doesn't mean that he wasn't aware of it, or that he didn't, anything changed with him, that he didn't know what was going on, and all of that. So I can certainly just stop and call out to him and wait for his answer. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is beautiful. it's a burden lifted sometimes when you think about it from that perspective, because we can get ourselves all twisted up in knots, worried about what we did do or what we didn't do. And, you know, I'm not advocating for loose living or doing what you want to do in any way. You understand that. But this, at the same time, you know, there's this beautiful freedom in Christ for the Christian. And we can, when we miss something or forget something, for whatever reason, I can just go to the Lord and say, hey, you know, I dropped the ball, I slipped up, I stepped in the mud, I deliberately did something that I shouldn't do. And the Lord is, his forgiveness is real. Mm. His grace is real. And he's there to forgive and dust us off and pick us back up. You know, yeah. I always get the picture of like a child who falls on the ground and gets all dirty and dad comes by and, you know, picks him up and dusts the dirt off and swats him on the rear end and sends him on his way. So, in some sense, you know, I feel like that's the same thing that the Lord does for us.
So. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's an awesome thing. You know, a righteous man falls seven times and get back up again for sure. You know, it doesn't mean he wants us to live in that, because that's the defeat for sure. That's starting to believe the lie of the enemy when we stay down. But again, God desires to lift us back up out of that for sure. You know, so I have, just another quick question for you. You know, just wondering your thoughts about what does the church do now during this time, you know, with all this going on around us? Some of the things are maybe a little bit more difficult to maybe be ministering in some ways. You know, things aren't as open as they could be, but still, there's a lot of opportunity, I would believe. What are your thoughts as to, you know, what the church itself, you know, us as the church, what we should be doing during this time?
I think one word that comes to mind for me is stability. There's a lot of ideas about the church and a lot of ways that people feel about the church collectively, and some people have set examples that have caused these feelings that other people have that are outside the church to have legitimate feelings. They're like, this is weird, this is odd, this is strange. So I think right now we have an opportunity as the church, the true church, to just be stable, be the voice of reason, be the place that people can come and get an answer or experience maybe love, the love of the Lord that they've been missing and that has been lacking in their lives. And I think the way that we do that is by being the things that I just said, but by also listening to what the Word of God says concerning obedience to the government and the policies that they've laid down. Romans 13 is real clear on that. You know, I know I've heard a lot of people talking about and a couple of things going on around the nation with pastors and different people deciding that it was a good idea to continue to meet publicly and defy the ordinances that have been put in place by public officials. And it's them saying, you know, we're not going to do this because we feel like you're telling us that we can't do this, when that's really not what's being said at all. Mm-hmm. They're not inhibiting or prohibiting our Christian rights to meet in church. This is something that I feel like is more of the law of love being instituted for the church as we obey what we've been asked to do. So we're setting the example that they need to see right now. We're setting that stable example. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's a lot of people looking at, because of some of the things that are going on around the nation with other churches and people kind of trying to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to listen to this, we're going to meet. They're looking for other churches around that are actually doing what they should be doing. And I believe that, again, that we're obeying the Bible by submitting to the public authorities in this situation. They're looking for people like that. And it might bear fruit in this particular situation. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's true. We need the correct balance here. Certainly, as you mentioned, Romans 13, talking about honoring our government and those who are placed in authority. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to agree with everything they do. And certainly there are plenty of theories out there and ideas and people upset with government and you can't trust it and all that. And yet God's word is true. Like we just mentioned, we trust in his word. He says what he says for a purpose. And it doesn't change just because the situation's hard. I mean, boy, the time when it was written, right, for the most part. We're looking at Acts. We're looking at all the different times of the prophets and, you know, basically through all this time, they were under incredible persecution as a church, for sure. The government was definitely not for them through this time, and yet they were still saying, honor the government, you know? So it just doesn't mean that, you know, it was this wonderful Christian leader that was up there in front of the country and running it and making decisions in most of those cases, for sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Yeah, so I'm just like, I've been kind of stuck on that myself. I'm a little bit, I don't want to use the wrong wording. I'm disappointed, actually, in some people and the approach that they've taken concerning that, because I just think that the church has an opportunity to be a place of stability in what seems to be this process of God shaking things up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for
we
sure.
have this opportunity right now to do what we're supposed to do. You know, there's a time when it's time for us to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to do that, or I am going to do that even though you said I shouldn't. But those are times when it's directly related to, you know, a compromise of God's word, and this just isn't that. So we can be stable in this situation, and hopefully it will be something that brings about lasting fruit in other people's lives, our neighborhoods, our churches, our communities.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny that you mentioned the fruit. I was just looking at Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. You know, and this is when John the Baptist was out in the wilderness preaching to, you know, to the multitude. And yet there in that multitude was a group of these religious leaders that outwardly seemed all excited about the Messiah coming and wanted to worship him and praise him. And yet that wasn't where their hearts were. They weren't at a point of true repentance. You know, and a lot of times people don't quite get the idea of repentance, because often we're thinking it's, well, it's all about how I feel, you know, and it's great to feel sorry about our sin, for sure. That's a good place to begin. But the truth is, it has very little to do with our feelings, the word repentance. It's all about the action behind it. And what am I going to do with it? It's about turning away from, changing our direction, you know, a change of heart. You know, not just sorrow, but a change of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. Certainly, that makes it. That's truly what the repentance is all about, right? Turning around from the direction I'm heading to head in the right direction instead. And you know, as John was speaking to these religious leaders, they just never really. Most of them never got to that point. A few of them definitely reached, and they got to a point of true repentance. And we saw that, like in an example of like Nicodemus or someone like that. And yet. You know, we need to step back ourselves and make sure that we're being very real with this and open to God, that we're willing to listen to him in obedience is huge. He says that if you love me, you'll obey me, and yet you will see plenty of examples of people say, oh, I love God, I just can't do that. It's like, well, wait a minute, what is love? You know, Jesus told us clearly. So it's a lot more than feeling good about it, for sure. It's about doing what's right in the situation. It does take some discernment, for sure. Absolutely. Like you mentioned, there are times, certainly, when maybe the government will be telling us to go against God, what he clearly tells us to do, and that's a time to take a stand. But like you say, I don't think this is it. I don't think this is that time.
No, I agree. Yeah. And another point on that note is, if it ever got to that point, it would never, you know, every example in scripture was also always done from a passive perspective. In other words, there wasn't a lot of upheaval, there wasn't a lot of raised hands and pumping fists. People just did what they were supposed to do based on what God told them to do if there was a contradiction to whatever that command was. So it was always done in peace. You see, Daniel in the Old Testament, he just went and prayed. He wasn't like, hey, I don't like this, or he didn't get up in arms and you know, he just did what he was supposed to do.
Right.
And that was do what God told him to do. So.
Yeah, great example, for sure. So with all this, I guess another question here I have for you would be, you know, what do you think that the future is going to hold for Calvary Chapel Berkshires or the church at large? What's it going to look like over the next 6 months or in a year from now? Or do you think things are going to be very different? Or do you think we're going to go back to where we left off?
I don't think I have an answer for that. My hope and expectation is that things will be different in the sense that people will be eager to get back into church. I know I am right now. And you say, well, you're the minister, or you're a pastor in the church, so you're excited about getting back into church. That's a given. I'm hoping that everybody will be excited to get back into church. And people that haven't been in church for a little while, we'll start coming to church, not so that just we can have more people in church, but so that they'll be excited about what God wants to do in their life, excited about hearing the Word of God. So my hope is, and I don't know, that that's what will happen here at Calvary Chapel of the Berkshires specifically, but then, you know, beyond that, I hope that that takes place on a national level or an international level. I just pray that people would understand that, you know, the Lord has answers. The church again, as we were talking earlier about that example of stability, that they'll see that and they'll be like, hey, you know what? These people aren't as weird as we thought they were. You know, maybe we could go there and spend a little time with them and get to know them and hopefully ultimately, obviously, get to know the Lord. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, for sure. That's a great word for sure. We need to definitely consider that. And when we look forward to what's ahead, a big part of that is us and how we're responding and what we're doing with what he's given us, for sure. You know, it's interesting, like I was mentioning, as we are following along this reading that we have, that we're using here at Horizon in Fitchburg, we do, obviously, as many of the different readings go, as different parts of the Bible, and typically they include a psalm. So we're looking at some of the prophets and a lot of them talking about the judgment of God and the repentance that's required and how we need to turn. And yet then you go back to the Psalms and, wow, in that you can give incredible praise and thanks to God. And today we're reading, my wife and I in the morning, we're just reading Psalm 107. And, wow, what a beautiful beginning that has in it. It's, you know, that psalm is incredible. There's so much there. But I just wanted to read through the first few verses of it, where it says, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." You know, what an amazing thing to consider, you know, in the midst of all the repentance and the trials. Just praising him, worshiping him for who he is. Incredible.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We got to remember to say that on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
He is good.
Yeah, we do need to remind ourselves of that for sure. In the trial, remembering his character doesn't change. He's always good. He's always a giver of good things, you know, and in that, continue to praise him even when the things are difficult. Now, knowing who he is, how do I respond to the situation? The fact that he's allowing this in my life, there must be something that he wants to do with it.
Hmm. Well, that's the question, you know, and I think just that reflection time, taking advantage of the situations that you have. As I look through the psalm that you just read, the first several verses, I can't help but to reflect upon, you know, my own life and probably the condition of a lot of people, at least in a spiritual sense. He's probably talking about a literal thing here with Israel. I'm not really sure of the immediate context, but when you think about this in an application sense, in the spiritual context, man, a lot of the stuff that he says about these people that are giving thanks to him now is exactly where I was and exactly where a lot of people are right now. They're wandering in a wilderness in a desolate way. And they're hungry and thirsty. Their soul is fainting. God is good. He wants to take us and provide all those things for us, definitely in a spiritual context, and restore us.
For sure. Yeah, that's his desire, right?
Yeah.
Amen. We just got another call in from a mom down on the Cape, and she's asking for her son's salvation. Her son's name's Elton, and he's incarcerated at the moment, and just really wants us to pray for him and just... call out to God for him during this time that this would really, his heart would be reached for the Lord. So would you mind praying for Elton?
Not at all.
Thanks, Jesus.
Lord, we pray for Elton specifically and his family, Lord, as he's going through a difficult time. I've heard testimonies like this a lot. And Lord, you have a way of reaching men in that situation with the gospel. So I pray that he would find a chaplain in there or a group of guys that are involved with a prison Bible study or something of that nature, and he'd be able to go. And this is just what I'm thinking, Lord. You might have a whole different plan. So if there's a prison guard that you want to bring him into contact with or a friend in a cell or whatever, God. I just pray that you would reach out to this man and he would have the message of hope given to him and that he would receive it and that he would be saved. And I pray for a wonderful testimony soon between him and his mom via letter or a phone call or when he gets out of the work that the Lord has done in his heart and the situation that he's currently in. I pray that that would be the case, Lord, they'd be able to rejoice. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's funny. Each of those situations you've mentioned, each of those testimonies, we have all of those right here at our church in Fitchburg. So pretty cool. You know, God does work. He hears the cries of his people for sure. So, yeah, continue lifting Elton to the Lord for sure.
Definitely, man.
Yeah. So do you have any final thoughts? We're just getting down to the last couple of minutes here. Just wanted to offer you another minute or two if anything you wanted to add in before we close out for the night.
Well, and, you know, again, just going back to maybe a couple of the things that we talked about, the example that we get to set being the stabilizing force in this situation. Looking forward to, as a church, getting back together, and I pray that everybody's kind of on that same page, that we would. I never took church for granted, but I'm like, I'm really desiring to be the church with inside the four walls right now. So I pray that everybody would be eager to get back in there and just be together and worshiping. And I pray that the Lord would do a work in our hearts during this time that would further us along in the process of our walk with him, that he'd strengthen and fortify us. So we'd be that stabilizing force. There'd be people that are eager to get back to doing what they want to do. I pray for the churches that are, I would pray for the churches that are struggling right now. There are those. There were churches that didn't have a lot of folks in them to begin with, and they're really struggling. And I pray that the Lord would sustain them, and he would do a new and amazing work in their midst.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor Bob Greska. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.